97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the best NFL players of all time. Our guest, Matt Andrews, who teaches sports history at UNC. So, Matt, there's 100 names on this list, and we're going to put you to the test to see just how well-versed you are in all these people.
Okay.
When I first started thinking about this list, I'm thinking there's one name I really want to see.
Okay.
If this name isn't on the list, I'm going to be crushed because I saw this guy dominate football games when he was part of a crappy team.
Okay, who was this?
Leroy Selman.
Leroy Selman, sure. Okay, and those terrible Bucs teams. Where did they start out?
0-16.
0-16, and then maybe lost three the next season. Yeah, but if there was one guy you could depend on, it was Selman. Leroy Selman is right when I really started paying attention to pro football. I was born in 1968, so it was right about 1977 that I became a huge professional football fan. And he's on the list, I assume.
He's number 98 on the list.
No, he barely made it.
He barely made it, but he's on there.
Joe Namath is 100.
Number 100.
I saw. Some people say he's the most overrated quarterback of all time. He's certainly one of the most important players of all time. You know, the way he brought football into the entertainment era, brought football into the modern era, we might say. So, yeah, it's an interesting list.
So, I mentioned to you that I want to highlight some people who I've seen play personally.
Right.
Steve Young.
Okay.
I did not see him play personally as a member of San Francisco team.
Okay, I did.
I saw him play in the USFL.
Oh, you saw him play for the LA Express?
No, for the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Oh, so he was for the...
He started with the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Okay, I remember...
So, to me, it's fascinating that he would start in another league and still make the list of the top 100 in the NFL.
Okay, so I guess he played for the Bandits. I know he played for the LA Express. He signed at that time that 40-year, $40 million contract, which was just unheard of back then. Now it almost seems like chump change, $1 million a year.
And I think Donald Trump was involved with that league.
Donald Trump was both involved with the league, and he is the reason why the league collapsed, and I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Steve Young as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, when we're talking quarterbacks, I'm a Joe Montana guy. Steve Young never got the appreciation that he deserved in San Francisco because he followed in Montana's footsteps. What an amazing athlete Steve Young was.
Yeah. Here are a few I haven't seen play in person, but whose names are just widely known. If this guy isn't on the list, it's a travesty.
Sure.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Did I ever see Randy Moss play? I guess I did. I saw Randy Moss play for the Oakland Raiders later in his career. One of the all-time great wide receivers. I think that conversation starts and ends with Jerry Rice. I realize I'm being a bit of a homer here, but if you look at Jerry Rice's numbers, I think he's got 22,000 receiving yards. The next closest is 16,000. Larry Fitzgerald, he's got 40 more touchdowns than anyone. But Randy Moss, no one could stretch a defense like Randy Moss. I mean, the guy just had speed oozing out of his body.
Yeah, so Randy Moss is number 65 on the list.
65, that seems a little low to me.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Sure.
LT, but our era, there's a different LT, but for the younger folks... Tomlinson is the LT.
Yeah, and to Joe Theismann, it's Lawrence Taylor as well, if you remember what he did to that poor guy's leg. Once again, I'm just going to keep doing this. It's the guys you grew up rooting for, who you have this special affinity for. Ronnie Lott is my all-time favorite defensive player. But, you know, if I'm being objective and honest, I've never seen anyone wreak more havoc on the defensive end than Lawrence Taylor. He could do absolutely everything. He could sack the quarterback. He could cover receivers. The guy was a stud.
Yeah, so we'll get back to that LT soon.
But, okay.
Tomlinson comes in at number 61. Then just a couple of spots ahead of him, I'm looking at the list and I go, yeah, that guy actually did play in the league, although he's mostly known for coaching in the league, Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka, sure. I never saw him play, but apparently a pretty good tight end in his time, right, for the Dallas Cowboys. I think tight ends are probably a hard position to score here, because I'm not sure if any position has changed more than the position of the tight end. You know, in the first, well, 50, 60, 70 years of the league's existence, tight ends, they were blockers, basically. And then you get guys like Tony Gonzalez, who are on the top 10 list of receptions all time in the NFL. The tight end position has changed an awful lot. I would think that would be one of the hardest ones to come up with.
A few others, around about 50. Some names that just jump right out. Eric Dickerson, Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw.
Wow, yeah, Terry Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowls. You know, he and Montana tied for second now to Tom Brady, but 4 there. The great Bart Starr, they win the first 2 Super Bowls. You know, he's the engine of those great teams. And Eric Dickerson was an absolute monster at the running back position, both in college. You know, a lot of these guys, they were unbelievable college players, and they just kept it going in the NFL. And Dickerson is an example of one of those. He was on those Rams teams that were very good in the 1990s, but they had the misfortune of coming up against the 49ers over and over. So I don't think Dickerson ever made it to a Super Bowl.
So mention just a few guys who, old-timers, who maybe we have heard the name, but
right,
certainly never saw play. People like Red Grange, Ray Nitschke, folks like that.
Red Grange going way back, the 1920s. You know, Grange, I talk about Red Grange in my sport history course. He's the guy who once and for all puts college football on the map when he's a running back at the University of Illinois, the galloping ghost. And then he decides to leave and go to the NFL early, which is a huge scandal in the 1920s. The idea that somebody would actually leave college. Why would you not want to be in college and go make a ton of money in the pros? I was pleased to see him on the list. Boy, there are a lot of great running backs around there. There's O.J. Simpson at number 40. You know, our understanding of Simpson has changed, mm-hmm, but let's be honest. That guy was one unbelievable football player.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the top 100 NFL players of all time. We're talking with Matt Andrews, noted sports historian at UNC. Back to my list of people I've seen play in person.
Sure.
The next two guys I saw play in college in person.
Okay.
But nonetheless, they were great players. Deion Sanders, and before you get into him, what really sticks into my mind is when he was going to go to Dallas,
mm-hmm,
and there's this, I think it was a Pizza Hut commercial.
Okay.
And Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, asked Deion Sanders, what do you want, 15, 20 million? And he said, both. So we got 35 million.
That sounds like prime time, yeah, without a doubt. The guy who scored touchdowns every way imaginable. You know, he scored them as a defensive player. He did it as a punt returner. I can remember him scoring one as he was rushing the ball out of an offensive set. One of the great athletes in NFL history, without a doubt.
Emmitt Smith. Saw him play a bunch. Covered him when he was at the University of Florida.
Saw him at Florida.
Actually covered him in high school. Officiated, actually, one of his high school playoff games.
Where was that?
That was in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, in Central Florida. From the Panhandle, but
okay,
he came down to play in a quarterfinal game.
Wow.
And I'm reffing the game that Emmitt Smith is playing.
Wow, unbelievable.
It's like, this kid is something else.
Sure, sure. He did it every year. What I really admired about Emmitt Smith, and once again, as a 49er fan, he was the bane of my existence in the 1990s because he just absolutely wrecked the 49ers. But that guy played hurt. And, you know, I'm not sure if we should lionize playing hurt in this day and age, but that guy played with separated shoulders. He played with dislocated elbows. He was always on the field, an absolute warrior, Emmitt Smith.
Pretty good dancer, too.
This is what I'm told. I actually don't watch that show. Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars, yeah. He did fairly well. All right, a name that everybody's going to know and low on the list, in my opinion, Tom Brady at number 20.
That was shocking. You know, so ESPN came up with their own list a couple weeks ago as we get to the 100th NFL season, and they picked one player at every position. I mean, they picked 4 defensive linemen and 4 offensive linemen and so on and so forth, I guess 5. And their quarterback was Tom Brady. I'm a big Joe Montana guy, and I was sticking up for Joe Montana for years and years, but I don't know how you argue against 6 Super Bowls, 14 Pro Bowl appearances. The guy is absolutely clutch. He does not have that defining moment, I think, in his career. I think his defining moment is actually that fumble that wasn't a fumble against the Oakland Raiders. Montana has the play, but you just can't argue with those numbers. I think that's awfully low for Tom Brady.
Yeah, so by comparison, let's take just a super quick look at the top few of 2019. Brady's number 6. He's number 6 current. And the guy's been playing for a century.
Yeah, and you know he's in some bunker somewhere reading this list and just fueling himself for the upcoming season. I'm going to show everyone wrong. We do this to Brady over and over and over. We discount him because he's so quote-unquote old. What is he, 41, 42 now? We've never seen anything like it, though. That guy takes care of himself in a way that other football players didn't. And, you know, let's be honest, he lives in an era where you can't really hurt the quarterback in the NFL anymore. And so that helps explain his longevity.
Somebody who did hurt the quarterback on a regular basis,
yep.
Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears.
Never saw him, right? From what I understand, one of the most intense, the most fearsome linebackers in NFL history. Would have liked to have seen him. Would have liked to have seen if he has the speed. I think anyone who probably saw Butkus play might laugh at what I'm saying, but I wonder if a guy like that has the speed to play at the level that he played in the NFL today, because the game has just gotten so quick in the last 30 years.
All right, let's start working our way up with the top 8.
Okay.
I'd like to talk a little bit about them. Peyton Manning, number 8 quarterback.
You ever see Manning play?
Did not in person.
As an SEC guy? Yeah, okay.
No. Or did I? You know, I might have seen him at Tennessee.
Seen him play at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy so good that when he did not win the Heisman Trophy, I think it went to Charles Woodson that year, a Tennessee congressman, stood up in Congress and officially protested. They love Peyton Manning there. Peyton Manning's biggest problem is that he played in the shadow of Tom Brady, and he just lost to Tom Brady over and over and over. But, 6'5", 220 pounds, rocket arm. I mean, the guy was a brilliant quarterback.
What I like about him, same thing I like about Emmitt Smith, is they have continued past the game of football.
Boy, Manning certainly
and are still quite well known.
Yeah, Manning could do anything. Manning could be the senator of Tennessee if he wants to be. I think that guy can do just about anything. Yeah, he's got a personality.
All right, just above him at number 7, Green Bay Packers defensive end Reggie White.
Boy, did anyone wreak more havoc on the defensive end. You know, I never saw on the defensive line, I never saw Deacon Jones. I never saw Merlin Olsen. I remember, those guys were supposed to be pretty tough for the LA Rams in the early 1970s. But Reggie White could seemingly do anything that he wanted. And then, of course, his legend only grows, I guess. He got into some political trouble at the end of his life with some of his statements, but dying early, I think, just almost puts him in this pantheon of NFL greats. One of too many of these guys who actually die early. These early NFL players.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Matt Andrews of UNC sports history fame.
yeah, and I should be clear, this is not the type of thing I do in my sport history courses. We don't just talk about players, but I love doing this. So thanks for having me on and letting me play this game with you.
Yeah. So as one would expect, there are quite a few quarterbacks on this list of 100, which came out in 2010.
Okay.
And could shift, that's been almost 9 years ago,
right.
Some of these hotshot players, they will probably move up, somebody else will move out,
sure.
But that's the fun of lists. Johnny Unitas, Johnny U.
The guy who made black cleats famous, I guess, made the crew cut famous, sort of the archetype quarterback. I love talking about Johnny Unitas, Mr. Square, as a lot of people called him, you know, in contradistinction to Joe Namath, who comes in with the floppy hair and the white shoes. And people would always say, that's not what a quarterback is supposed to look like. You're supposed to look like Johnny U.
Yeah, the ankle length, fur coat on
yeah,
Namath.
Right, right.
Johnny U would never do something
No,
like
he had ankle length high tops, I think, but not ankle length fur coats. You know, by never saw Johnny Unitas growing up a Montana fan. He was the guy, Unitas was, that Montana was most often compared to.
Mm. Walter Payton. Something that's, to me, special about Payton is the sort of the sportsmanship award.
Right.
Is named after Payton.
Sure, sure. An absolute gentleman by all accounts. Also someone who passes away way too early in this. You know, I'm not sure if it was football related, but playing football can't help. Yeah, it was a big deal. Obviously, when he broke the all-time rushing record since broken. I'm sort of surprised that he's up there ahead of Emmett Smith. But there are a lot of Walter Payton fans out there.
Joe Montana, you've mentioned him a couple of times.
That's my guy.
Number four.
Joe Montana is my
guy. Is number four right, or would you put him at number one?
Well, I reluctantly think that Brady deserves to be above him now. You know, Jerry Rice is on this list as number one. I know we're going to talk about Jerry Rice, but without Joe Montana, there is no Jerry Rice. I think one could argue. Well, I'm not sure.
And you could argue the opposite as well.
You could argue the opposite as well. Absolutely. Jerry Rice came in about 3 or 4 years into Montana's career. You know, Montana is, I suppose, the archetype modern quarterback. He took Bill Walsh's modern offense of short passes, just sort of 8 yards here, 12 yards there. Growing up as a 49er fan, I had utter and absolute faith in Joe Montana and never felt that we were out of a game when he was the quarterback.
The real LT, Lawrence Taylor.
Yep.
Highest ranked Tar Heel on this list.
Highest ranked Tar Heel, looking at the list, highest ranked defensive player. In fact, it looks like there's only three in the top 10. Once again, Lawrence Taylor could do absolutely anything. I saw him in the first couple years of his career playing for the Giants against the 49ers, and the speed that he had coming off of the end was remarkable. And when he got you in his clutches, there was no escape. Lawrence Taylor, I think you could make the argument, is the greatest football player of all time. I mean, I think three is a pretty appropriate place. Because actually, the guy at number two, I think you can make the argument, is the greatest football player of all time.
All right, let's make that argument. Jim Brown.
Jim Brown is one of the great athletes in American history. From my perspective, he's one of the great sort of social activist athletes in American history. But he was a star football player at Syracuse, something you probably know, but a lot of people don't. He is one of the great lacrosse players in the history of this country. He was an All-American lacrosse. Can you imagine Jim Brown playing lacrosse, trying to stop that guy without pads or anything? Unbelievable. And then he comes into the NFL, and if I'm not mistaken, he only plays 9 years. He leads the league in rushing almost every single year. He averages over 5 yards a carry for his entire career. The people who saw Jim Brown and have seen all these other guys we've been talking about say, end the discussion. There is no debate. He is certainly the greatest running back of all time, probably the greatest football player of all time. And then he quit because he wanted to get into acting, and the Browns ownership, they were fining him for his acting. He said, you know what? I don't need pro football. I'm going to go and do something else.
So after such a relatively short career, he's number two
on the
all-time list.
Yeah, even I think it was maybe Barry Sanders, how great Barry Sanders was. Barry Sanders' father once said, no, my son is not the greatest running back of all time. Jim Brown is the greatest running back of all time.
The greatest player, according to this list, is Jerry Rice. So you have that tandem.
Sure.
You know, Rice and Montana, your team.
And then he had Young coming up afterwards. Yeah, no one has lapped the field statistically like Jerry Rice. Again, so many more touchdowns than anyone else, so many more receptions and receiving yards than anyone else. If we're just looking at it statistically, I think it's Jerry Rice. I don't know. If I'm starting a team right now and I'm drafting, I'm probably going with Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor, or Joe Montana. But once again, statistically speaking, no one is more remarkable than Jerry Rice.
15 seconds. Who moves onto this list in the coming 5 to 10 years?
Oh, see, now you're exposing my weak link here. I don't watch too much. I got to be honest. I don't watch too much pro football anymore.
Maybe Aaron Donald.
Yeah, maybe, right? I mean, we talked about how this is an older list, and certainly Tom Brady has moved up on this list. I know Cleveland Browns were going to tell you, oh, it's going to be Baker Mayfield or someone along those lines. Yeah, I don't know.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Matt Andrews. Thanks also to engineer Michael Coe, and thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.